Good morning and welcome to the How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything year-long retreat. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday was list the 10 things that are most important to you. Record and listen.
All right.
And here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, it's Linda from Alabama.
Oh, hello, Linda.
Hi, Linda.
Hello.
Or should we say hey?
Hey.
Hey, that's better. Hey, y'all.
Well, what struck me about this one the most is my wanting to do it right.
Uh-huh.
That might be how I do a lot of things.
You think?
Yeah.
It felt and sounded kind of familiar.
Yeah, it felt very familiar. What's the trick? Like, what's the trick question to this one? How do I do it right?
Interesting. Uh-huh. So a little edge of suspicion in there too. A little bit maybe. Somebody's
like,
trying to put one over on you.
Learning something. Not so much that, but uh-huh. I'm be learning something from this. And what is it? You know, instead of just what are the 10 most important things? I mean, I did write them down.
Right. Well, and we get to see in that, I think, something almost all conditioned human beings share, which is, it can't be as simple as you just saying what is so for you.
Right.
That would just make life too easy.
Yeah, I mean, I've been practicing with that some in general, right, yeah, because I have that feeling of tension sometimes when somebody asks me a question. You know, even though it should just be whatever I think the answer to the question is. But instead it's like, well, what if I say the wrong thing?
Yeah, yeah. What's really going on here? This is out to get me in some way. And so I have to be careful. There's a right and wrong here. I gotta make sure.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I guess
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I guess the thing is to sort of just go, oh, there's ego again.
And we can see this is kind of extreme way to say it, but I think it's true, the loss of innocence. You know, there was a time when life wasn't out to get us, and we knew that.
Right.
But then we started getting information from bigger people that there is an element about to get you. There is a right answer here.
Right.
That's the way you should be. There is something you should know. And so being fooled and tricked time and time and time and time and time and time again causes us to get to that place of just basically assuming that there's a hidden agenda here, and that I'm on trial, I'm being watched, I'm being judged, and you know, most of that is true.
Right.
Because almost everybody
is. Especially
with
the little person, but even in the big people, it's true. Right.
Oh, yes. So because we are surrounded by egocentrically, karmically conditioned, self-hating human beings. And so, yeah, all of that is going on, which doesn't mean we need to be tortured over it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think I've been finding myself doing, like, kind of better with that, like, kind of recognizing that tension and sort of saying, oh, I'm not doing that.
Right.
Just saying whatever, you know, being a little bit more. I mean, I know it's hard. I have a lot of social anxiety or, you know, what people call social anxiety. So, and it's kind of like, I mean, that's part of that, too. It's that fear of being judged or a feeling that, you know, everything you say is sort of not everything I say is usually wrong, of course, according to conditioning.
That's right. And which points at another universal, right? Conditioning doesn't say, well, I, voice in your head, am judging you in this way. It says, oh, well, they think you're stupid. Or,
yeah.
Now they know. They know
that. Why on earth did you say that?
Why? Yeah, now everybody knows it. So, yeah, so it perpetuates that belief that it's happening out there.
Right.
And increasingly, of course, as we pay attention, we realize, well, no, actually. I mean, even if you say something and somebody kind of rolls their eyes, you know, you're a grown-up. You're intelligent. You can say, now I sense a reaction there. What's going on? Right? And nobody's going to die or... you know, the person might go, oh, well, no, I didn't, and then follow it up with something you would have never thought about in a million years, because the voices in your head, right, are giving you the bad news all the time.
Right, and who knows what the actual truth of the matter is. I mean, it is.
Oh.
I'm just writing it down on a piece of paper, right? I mean, there's no even anybody there to judge me.
Except the only judge. The only real judge
right.
there is, right? Yeah. And again, this is that point at which I say, this. I think the saddest thing in the world is the number of people who believe that hateful voice in their head is God. And I mean, there are a lot of those people.
Right.
And it is so sad when you know, unconditional love has been turned into self-hate. That is tragic.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't want to nag you, even though you know me well enough to know nagging is something of a specialty of mine. But, you know, there's another retreat that you have access to where you would be able to face directly exactly what you're talking about this morning. Right? Time is up again. Yep.
Are we talking about recording and listening? Say it
no.
again.
That other one, okay. The Going Beyond Fear.
Oh, the retreat as
yeah.
well.
Yeah. That's what people are up against all the time in that
retreat.
Right, you know, it's stepping out there, making oneself vulnerable, and facing what those voices are doing and learning to see that it actually doesn't have anything to do with anybody else. And
right.
and that is that's a practice that is really hard to do in regular life.
I guess, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. All right. Just, you know, word to the wise. Okay.
Well,
thanks,
so
Linda.
Wonderful to talk to y'all and have this again. Thank y'all very much.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, and go happy.
You too. Go happy.
All right.
Thanks, Linda. You know, Sherry, the most poignant part of that conversation for me is that is our process of conditioning and socialization, which is to leave the experience that we're having as not the accurate one.
Yeah.
And then to then look to someone else for what is the experience to be having. It's such a conditioning of the negation of what arises for me. So we're trained out of actually honoring the guidance from life, which is the experience of this unique node of intelligence, which is as valid as the experience of any node of intelligence. There isn't an absolute standard of reaction that everyone needs to have to a particular situation, except in that social sense.
Yes. Well, and we all know it, right? Because everybody's following the same process and comes to completely different conclusions. So we know that externally there is no objective reality that we're supposed to be matching.
Yes.
It's just what's in our head. And when you said that, I saw so clearly that yes, that's the beginning of turning unconditional love into self-hating judgment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right
and what
there.
I was seeing.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, exactly. And what I was seeing about that is it actually prevents us from our experience of oneness
of all that is, because in how it is, because the oneness implies that we're all the same conscious intelligence, but expressing itself uniquely. And therefore, in order to know what the other, in order to honor the other expression of intelligence, the only way I can do that is say what's happening for me. Because in that, I'm honoring that what's happening for me is different from what's happening for that. And yet, it is the same consciousness. So that contradiction of union indifference is what gets conditioned out of us, right?
Yes, right. So I'm no longer interested in your perspective. You know, we don't walk around and you say, oh, I think that's beautiful. Oh, you do? Really? What do you see in it? Because I've never thought about that. I mean, talk about making life interesting. But no, one of us knows what beauty is. You said it. I either agree or don't agree. I'm either right or wrong. You're either right or wrong.
Yeah, and I might not even know. I'm so conditioned not to see what beauty is for me that I might just agree with you or disagree with you, right?
right. Oh, yeah, that is beautiful.
Yeah.
But.
And then just keep going right along. Yeah, it's tragic.
Uh-huh. It really is.
All right, let's hear from our next caller.
Okay.
You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning, Sherry and Ashwini. This is Goli.
Hello,
hi, Goli.
How
good
are you?
Good morning. I'm happy to be here.
Good.
Yes.
I love asking that question even more than ever now.
Yes. And how are you?
Well, I'm happy to be here, too. Thank you very much for asking.
Yes, and I'm also happy to say that this year I'm on the year-long retreat from the start instead of waiting to join two-thirds of the way through. So I'm delighted. And there are so many mornings that I wake up and I feel kind of like I don't know what to do with myself. And then I think, 9 o'clock, just tune in and listen in. And then it sort of recalibrates my mind. So I'm so grateful to have this retreat and to be with Sangha every day. And I wanted to call and say that I absolutely loved doing yesterday's exercise and just being able to focus on the 10 things that are most important to me, because so much of the time I'm directed to look at what do I need to do to make other people like me, or what do I need to do to be acceptable, or what do I need to do to make other people happy. So the attention is always on what's important to other people. And just to be able to really focus on this person and what's important to me. And I kind of got my coloring pencils out, and I did a lot of, there was so much space on the page. So I did it in bright colors, and I just, yesterday you had said that someone suggested doing it right after the call. So I did it right after the call, and it was just fabulous for the whole day to listen to that.
Boy, that's it, isn't it? Everything about that, Goli, from getting, I mean, we're kind of like the recording and listening first thing in the day that comes right to you, right? Well, those of us in this time zone, and other people, we have lunch with them, and some people tea and like that. But what you describe, so I often talk about, being a person with a history of depression, I never look to see how I am before I have done my morning things. You know, I have my tea, I meditate, record and listen, and then I look to see how I am. And I'm always fabulous. And what I know over many decades is if I looked sooner, I'd get different information. And so I just don't look. And so here we come right into your house with you, right into your life. And here's the recording and listening. And as you say, then you can recalibrate, and then that that stays with you all through your day. You remember who you are and what's important to you, and that she's important to you, and it's very good.
Yes. Yes, and thank you for that reminder, because I'm also someone who has a history of anxiety and depression. So, you know, I need to do this every day in order to
yep.
take care of this person. Otherwise, just even
That's right.
one day off course and it spirals out of control.
Exactly, exactly, because the habit is so deep. Right,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, you know, we have decades of heroin use, and
mm-hmm.
And then we quit. You know, we get clean and sober, and it's not going to take much to get us right
mm-hmm.
back into that habit. And self-hate, conditioning, that negativity is exactly that way.
Mm-hmm.
So every
mm-hmm.
day, every day, every day, every day, we have to take care of the human being first and then step out into the day.
Mm. Yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Goli.
Deep Gasho.
And to you. Go happy.
Thank you. Go happy.
Thanks, Goli. It's so true, right, Cherry, that's what we prove to ourselves with the recording and listening practice, that if we don't bring our attention to what is in our lives and what we choose for our lives and how we live our lives, then that negation of what is not becomes the default orientation. And it has to be that persistent in order to negate what is.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yes, if we could manage the focus that ego has, oh my gosh,
mm-hmm.
What a difference, right? Because it, as we've noticed, never loses focus. It's right there. No,
mm-hmm.
no, 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 no. We were talking about. I was talking about that with somebody yesterday afternoon. I think it was yesterday afternoon. That so something happens, and I realize. That was conditioning. And conditioning comes, the voice comes right back with, okay, now what are you going to do?
Yes.
And right. And if I'm not right there, I'm down another track. So
yeah.
it's ability to pay attention and be ready to go no to whatever we turn our attention to is truly impressive. It can be a great role model for us.
Mm. Yes, 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 indeed. All right, shall we hear from another caller, Sherry? Here we go.
Sure. All right.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Anna calling from Seattle.
Hello.
Hi, Anna.
Hello. Wow, yay. I'm happy.
Here
we
are.
I'm happy to be here.
Me too. Glad to have you.
Thanks. I wish I had, that kind of focus as ego has.
mm-hmm.
I would be on fire.
Yes, yes, on fire, unstoppable. Yeah, because it would just be a constant, this just massive energy of yes. To life.
Yeah. I actually the assignment from yesterday, I didn't do it. it's kind of funny. It was my birthday yesterday. And
oh, happy birthday!
Thank you. I didn't have. Well, Ego told me I didn't have time to do it. But I realized my most important thing to me is connection.
Mm-hmm.
When I was just looking at the assignment, but then ego kind of talks me out of it. When I can get connection externally, you know, that's more important than doing the assignment, for example, to connect with my own heart. So that's one of the
techniques. I'm projecting that you're seeing through that. Is that true?
Yeah, because really when I'm going external, then I actually don't feel that connected because I'm not at first connected with myself.
Yes, yes. And you used to believe that if you had that external connection that you wanted, then you would be connected to you and you would be happy. Probably just you would be happy. You know, at that point, we forget about internal connection, right? But if you had the right person or people, then everything would be fine with you. And over time, you've realized that's not true because you've had the right person or people, and it didn't work, right? So now you realize that if you're not connected to you, you can anything in your life can be going on, and it's not going to work for you. It's not going to give you what you want.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you got to see that by when you're talked out of doing the exercise, right? You saw how it talks you out of connecting first with you.
Yeah. I saw that. I don't remember now what the assignment was, but also something with externals. And so that made me think about how ego gets me, or what happens to me most of the time, is just with the physical, complete, like fatigue, you know? I mean, so bad that it's really hard to get up sometimes, and my muscles are shaky and stuff like, you know, that's how ego gets me, and brain fog. And is that an it's probably an external thing, but is it when it's happening in my own body? Is that something external happening?
It's really interesting. That's a fascinating one to explore, right? Because there's what's happening with us physically, and we actually don't know what that is. Okay. We have, as people, this whole externalization process about that. So something happens to my body, and I go to somebody who is an expert in bodies to find out what's going on with my body. And say it again?
I don't do that anymore. Now I'll just deal with it.
Because it's a disaster. It's a disaster, right? But the alternative isn't to just ignore it or just accept what the expert in the head says about it, right? So we're not just going to go put ourselves in the hands of some external expert, and we're not going to put ourselves in the, in quote, hands of an internal, in quote, expert, because that voice in the head truly is an external, even though it's happening inside the head. Right? Mm-hmm. And so what we're learning to do is be more and more and more in touch with ourselves. And as we are, our physical being will actually change. And there's tons of evidence of that, right? So some piece of karma falls away and somebody is cured of something that, you know, they thought was just a medical condition, right? So there's that kind of thing. But to me, the essential piece of the whole thing, whatever a person decides to do, is to bring unconditional love and acceptance to the human being. That's the most important thing of all, because in that way, so you get up in the morning and you're tired, your body is tired and your muscles are shaky, and you say to yourself, I know, this is challenging, and you're doing a great job. Okay, so here we go. All right, how about this? Let's do this. Right, let's take this on, because this will be good. And as you do that, the whole, you and your whole relationship with the body is going to begin to change, because we can't tell how much of what's happening to the body is the negativity that's going on constantly in the head.
Yeah. It's really shifting, and it's taking some time. It's shifting.
That's fine. that's something we have, right? As long as we're alive, we have all the time we need to choose unconditional love.
Yeah. Great.
Right.
Thank you.
Yep. You are so welcome.
Yeah.
And I've known you for a long time. And so I can attest to the changes. And
thanks.
So So I mean, you know it, I know it. Everybody who knows you knows it. And that's all the proof that we need that we're on the right track, and that what we want to do is just keep going. Does it mean that egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is just going to go, oh, well, okay, I see. All right, bye. Nice knowing you. Happy trails. No. In fact, it's quite the opposite, right? But we have the program, right? We know what we're doing, and we're going to choose unconditional love and acceptance, whatever comes at us.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Onward and upward. Thank you, my dear.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Go happy. Bye.
Thanks, Anna. Sherry, we have time for one more caller.
Oh, good.
And here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Next caller.
Hi there. I had to unmute myself. This is Lori calling from Asheville.
Hey, Lori.
Hi. Oh, gosh, so I'm excited to be here and just delighted to be able to participate. And the assignment, the more that after I did it and I have been thinking about, what's important, and then ever since I wrote some things down, there's just been more and more dropping in about what is important, and realizing that there isn't anything that isn't, in a certain way, that it's like everything matters.
What's most important? Everything.
Yeah, I know, because it's interesting, because in the beginning there were like these numbers, and I'm like, oh, I've got to rate this? Oh, no. And then I would put something at a certain number, and then I go, well, wait a minute, there's not really numbers that fit any of it. So that was a relief to know I didn't have to have a gut, it's like, this is more important than that. So, and then as I, like right now I'm outside, and what's important is that I'm alive and that I can be so grateful for that, and that, I just can't think of anything that isn't. And in that, there's this place that feels in my heart that's just like opening up so much to to have it. You know, what we were talking about, I think, yesterday about the difference of really being present to what is and having it instead of wanting it. And that's been a practice for me for quite a while, because when it comes down to it, I have the life that I want. And I just to keep on remembering that that's true, and how to keep on receiving all this, all the blessings that are here. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Lori, when we sometimes we'll talk about, so people will say, what does center feel like? Or what does it feel like when you're present? Is this it? You know, and they'll name some, and then we can start just naming, coming up with words, right? Well, it feels kind and loving and spacious and expansive and generous and grateful and, and just on and on and on and on and on. Got a lot of noise there. Yes, and that to me points at what you've realized, that there are all of these different flavors, kind of flavors of life, but they're all coming from the same oneness.
right?
Yeah, that's so, it. They're all coming from the same oneness. Yeah.
So we don't, if we pull something out, we can say, oh yeah, I love that. I love nature. You know, I love spring. I love, you know, I love sunshine and blue skies and white clouds and gentle rain and, you know, on and on and on and on. But it's the same.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so we lose that interest in dividing things up the way conditioning has taught us to divide things up so that we can get them in that world of duality and decide which one do I like better. And then feel bad because I left that one out. And what's most important? Everything.
Everything is so important. Everything matters. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my experience today for sure. And just so much gratitude for this and also for the retreat next week. We're really looking forward to being with everyone.
We're going to see
North Carolina.
And speaking of which, we had some very, very sad news, although sad but not tragic, okay, but a health issue. And we've had two cancellations because it was a couple and is a couple. And so we've had two cancellations in that retreat. So if somebody, again, if somebody's out there going, well, you know, too bad you missed that one, there's still a chance.
There's still a chance, and let me just say it's so, so beautiful. And to be on retreat, amazing, amazing to have this opportunity to be live in the same room in the same land with each other. So, yeah, please come. Yeah, thank you so much. And
excited to see you.
Go happy.
Be there.
Yeah, looking forward
to
you,
Lori.
Okay.
Go happy.
Uh-huh, you too. Bye.
Thanks, Lori. See you soon. And that brings us to the end of the show, Sherry. We have an assignment for today, which is, actually we skipped several pages in the workbook, just an FYI. It's page 27. What do you need to work on? Write it down in here, which is the little box that's provided on the page. Record and listen.
What do we need to work on?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Good.
All right.
Very exciting. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Happy.
Take care.
Bye-bye.